Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take a verse from our epistle text and use it as an occasion to review with you the third article of the Apostles' Creed. And so Paul, as he does in most of his epistles, he lets the congregation know how thankful he is to learn of the grace of God that is flourishing among them. And he assures them that he has been praying for them not only recently, but from the first day until now. And he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, you know, when we look around us, we see no shortage of the weakness of man in things spiritual and in things moral. And when we look at our own selves, we are prone to feel insecure because we see many of the same weaknesses that we see in others, we see them also in ourselves. And the older that we get as Christians, the more aware we become of the fact that we are not what we ought to be. And so, when we're thinking about the question, will I make it to heaven? You know, Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And sometimes, when we look at ourselves in our own weakness, we feel insecure and we say, will I make it to the end? Will I continue in faith? Or will I gradually backslide and fall away from the faith and in the end make a shipwreck of my profession of faith? Now, Paul knows that every honest Christian feels this way at times. You know, when we look at ourselves, when we look at other people, we go, oh, how are we going to endure to the end? How are we going to make it all the way through to the finish line? And what Paul says is that his confidence and our confidence must not be in ourselves and in other people and in the performance of human beings. Because if it is, we lose heart. We become discouraged. We become insecure. And we begin to doubt whether or not we will make it to the end. But Paul says, no. The Christian's confidence is not in himself and his performance, and it is not in other people and their performance. The Christian's confidence that the Christian will make it through to the end is in the gracious work of the Lord. And so he says, I am confident of this very thing. And it has two parts. A, he which hath begun a good work in you. will not stop in midstream. He will not get bored with you and get disappointed and fed up with you, but he will perform that good work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord God is committed to getting you through this life so that you stand before him as one of his holy saints who is welcomed into the kingdom of glory. So it would be instructive for us to consider for a few moments here, what is it that God has begun in us, and what is it that he is performing in us until the day of Jesus Christ? And there is my segue to the Small Catechism, which I know you all own a copy of, 1943. And I know that you all use it every day. So this is old hat to you. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. So the first thing that Luther says in explaining the third article of the Creed is, I am utterly incapable of believing in Jesus or coming to Jesus. If it were left up to me and my will and my powers, I would remain in unbelief, separated from God for all eternity. It is not in me the power to come to Jesus and to believe in him. It does not reside in me. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But notice that Dr. Luther does not despair on that account. He happily admits that he doesn't have the power to believe or to come to Jesus, because his confidence is not in his own works. His confidence is in the work of the Lord. And he says, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. That is, when the gospel of Christ has come to me, whether it has come to me in preaching or reading or someone sharing the faith with me, or whether it comes to me in the waters of holy baptism, right? The Holy Ghost, by means of the gospel, has called me to Jesus. And that means he has not only offered salvation to me, but in the gospel, he delivers the very thing that he offers. See, the gospel is a means of grace. It doesn't tell you, it doesn't just tell you that God has grace for you, but it delivers the very grace that it offers. And so, when it says that the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, it means that he has not only offered me salvation, but he delivers it to me by means of the gospel and the sacraments. So he has called me. And it says, not only has he called me, but he has enlightened me with his gifts. That means that he has bestowed saving faith upon me. He has caused me to understand the gospel so that I believe it. And he has shown me the truth of his word so that I may grow in the grace of God. So the Holy Ghost has called me and he has enlightened me with his gifts. I am not enlightened because of my own intelligence, my own preparations and studies. I am enlightened because he has gifted me by means of the word. And now I am able to see, to understand, and to benefit from things that were opaque to me before. So he has enlightened me with his gifts. He has sanctified me. Right? What does it mean to sanctify? He has given me new life and made me holy. You see, when God looks upon you, it's different than when you look upon you. When you look upon you, unless you are some kind of crazy narcissist, when you look upon you, you see the good stuff and the bad stuff. And sometimes more of the bad stuff than the good stuff. Right? But when God looks upon you in Christ, he sees the holiness of Jesus and the full atonement for all sin. And he does not have regard for your sins and weaknesses. He has regard for the holiness of Jesus, and you are, in the eyes of God, a holy saint of the Lord. You are sanctified. You are holy in God's eyes. And as you continue in faith, in the word and use of the sacraments, he continues to make this holiness an increasing reality in your life as you live it day by day. And then the next thing it says, so he has called me, he has enlightened me, he has sanctified me, and he has kept me in the true faith. Look at you. You are still coming to church. You are still believing in Jesus. You are still receiving the blessings of Jesus in the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments. All these years, through thick and thin, in weakness and in strength, through cross bearings and tribulations, through sicknesses and setbacks in your life, and yet you are still standing as a beloved child of God. This is because the Holy Ghost, using word and sacraments, has kept you in the true faith. And he doesn't only do it to you. Luther says, even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. You see, in the Holy Christian Church, the Spirit of God is active by means of word and sacrament, not only calling, gathering, enlightening, and sanctifying us, but keeping the whole Christian church, you and every other believer, with Jesus Christ in the one true church. So you are kept in the faith by the power of God, in the grace of God. But that's not all. He goes on and he says, in which Christian church, in the Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. Isn't that wonderful news? That in the Christian church, as members of the body of Christ, every day we are forgiven of our sins, not only us personally, but all believers in Christ are every day showered with the forgiveness of sins. And not only that, but he will, at the last day, that is Luther's shorthand for at the second coming of Christ, the day of the resurrection of the body, the day of judgment, the last day, he will, at the last day, raise up me and all the dead. So we are given a picture of what we are hopefully waiting for. We are expectantly awaiting this day when we are bodily raised from the dead, me and all the dead, and he will give unto me and all believers in Christ eternal life. Now, we possess eternal life right now by faith, but we possess it by faith, not by sight. On that day, we will possess eternal life in such a wonderful revelation that it's impossible to even describe it. Right? And so he will give us the eternal life that we already possess by faith, but that on that day, it will be consummated with such glory and such bliss attending it that we can't even describe it. Right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we have everlasting life already in our baptism. We have it already in faith in Christ. We will not perish, but have everlasting life. But on that day, all the down payments, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the blessings of the Holy Spirit, will be fully realized in all the wonderful weight of glory that we can't even imagine now. And Luther closes the third article by saying, this is most certainly true. Notice the word certainly, all right? Certainly true. This is the ground of our confidence. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God the Father, and of the Spirit of the living God, blessing us with salvation and keeping us. So let's go back to Philippians. Paul said, being confident, this is most certainly true, being confident in this very thing, he who hath begun a good work in you on the day that you were baptized will perform it. He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, until the last day. And therefore, your confidence that you will make it through to the end is in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.